The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Well, this evening I just wanted to give a brief meditation on why we are celebrating this evening. And before I do that, let's bow really quickly for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you and we ask for your blessing, your continued blessing on this time as we have just sung of our Savior's birth and how glorious indeed it is to consider that the God of the universe, the God who made all things and created all things, would come down as one of us, be born of a woman, born under the law, and he would ransom sinful man. And we thank you for that, and we ask that you would stir our affections up this evening as we consider these meditations. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I want to tell you about a man named Jack, who was a healthy man in his 60s. He ran several miles a day. He was very active and especially fit for his age. However, he started to experience some strange symptoms. He had some occasional vision problems, felt like he lacked oxygen at times, and was having some strange nightmares on a regular basis. He finally decided to go see a physician about it, who gave him a pretty thorough examination. However, whatever test they ran, the results came back negative for any sort of health issue. So he was befuddled by this, but he continued about his business, continued his daily routine, and really it just started to ignore the symptoms and the problems, and hoping it would just go away. However, within a month, he was being rushed to the hospital due to a severe stroke. He was on the precipice of death, but thankfully the doctors were able to save his life. So what happened to Jack? Well, Jack had blockage in the arteries in his neck, obviously that connect from the heart to the brain. When the doctor gave that examination, he didn't check that. And that was the only area he didn't check. And he really overlooked the problem. And in a way, that story helps illustrate what I'm calling tonight the problem of Christmas, or really the problem that Christmas solves. Because it implied with the Savior's birth is that there's a problem. And it's a problem we should not overlook. You know, when we think of Christmas, when many think of Christmas, they typically think of a delightful, beautiful, joyous time of the year. Now, for some, it's a very depressing time of the year. We grant that. But generally, people tend to think it's a wonderful time. Think about some of the popular Christmas songs we hear. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. Or sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. That's probably a song we sing, especially here in this valley. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we can go on and on and on about these songs. The angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing over the plains. Joy to the world. These sampling of songs give us a taste of how Christmas is viewed. A joyous, happy time of the year, a festival time with lots of cheer. There's much beauty surrounding this time of year. A lot of decorations go up. People put Christmas lights up on their house. There's wreaths, there's mistletoes, there's red bows, there's silver bells. On and on and on it goes. You have the nativity scene of a gentle babe in a cattle stall with shepherds and animals surrounding him. Christmas is certainly seen as a beautiful time of the year, and there's no doubt that that is true. However, in all these festivities, family time, beautiful scenery and music, where everything seems and feels right, we may overlook a problem. It's what I call the problem of Christmas. Not to say that there is a problem with Christmas itself. Rather, Christmas reminds us of a huge, glaring problem that we should not overlook. Why was there a baby born of a virgin? Why is this child Emmanuel, God with us? Why is God with us? Why did he come to earth? Why did he come to earth in this manner? Well, in answering this question, we do arrive at the problem. The angels declared to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day a Savior." A Savior. Now let me illustrate something here. Let's say we're walking along, and suddenly I push you down. And you go, "Why did you do that?" And I say, "Well, because I saved you." Okay, well, what did you save me from? That's the question, right? What did you save me from? I said, "Well, there's this leaf that was falling off a tree about ready to fall on you." You'd say, "You're just finding an excuse to push me." You would laugh at that because that's nothing to be saved from. See, need for a Savior, a need to be saved implies what? There's a real danger. What is that danger? Why is he called a Savior? Why is his name Jesus? For he will save his people. What does he save his people from? Well, Paul answers that question, and of course the angel did as well there in Matthew 1, but Paul answers that question in 1 Timothy 1:15 when he says, "This is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance. Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Why do sinners need to be saved? What do they need to be saved from? I think oftentimes when this is thought of, it's as if Jesus came to save us from a leaf falling on us. Yeah, we need a little bit of help. We need a little bit of guidance, but it's really not that bad. The reason God is here in human flesh, the reason baby Jesus is lying in a manger is because of our sin. It's because of our rebellion. It's because we have broken God's law in not loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Not loving our neighbors, ourselves. Sure, we can look at our neighbor and say, "I'm better than you. I want to lecture you about how evil you are and how good I am." And you know what that is? That's an indication of a guilty conscience. That's an indication that I need some sort of justification. I need to cover myself. But we need to be saved from the wrath and judgment of God. We need to be saved from an eternity in hell, because that is what our sins deserve. But it is a problem we would prefer to ignore and overlook. It's easier to think about the nativity scene with brightly shining stars and forget about the darkness of sin. It's easier to think about a quiet, tender baby in a manger and overlook the fact that he is also a holy judge who will come again to judge the living and the dead. It's easier to think about a silent, peaceful night than it is about the wrath of God to come. It's easier to think about the virgin birth than it is about a bloody death that would be the only remedy for our sins. It's easier to dwell on chestnuts roasting on an open fire rather than the fire of hell, something Jesus spoke much of. In fact, sometimes the wonder of Christmas and even the shopping and the piling up of gifts can be used as an escape from the dark reality of the judgment that is to come and that we are guilty because of sin. This is not to say that we can't legitimately enjoy Christmas and the gifts and family and the festivities. No, not at all. Rather, as we celebrate Christmas, Jesus' birth, Jesus coming to earth, let us not forget why he came. Let us not forget why he is here or why he was here. He was here because of a problem. The problem was our sin, was our guilt, was our shame and misery. There was no other way for sinners to be saved. God had to come down. God had to become a man. And he had to do that in order to save us from our sins. How did he save us? He was born of a woman. He became a man. He was born under the law, which means he had to subject himself to the law. He had to submit to the law. But he submitted himself to the law and obeyed it for us. So that we who believe would get credit for living that life as if we had perfectly obeyed the law, so that we may stand before the judge on judgment day, clothed in his righteousness, receiving credit for his life, facing the greatest scrutiny, his righteousness. With his righteousness on, we who believe will stand. And he was born to die. He had to die on the cross in order to take our punishment and suffer the full-fledged wrath of God. When Jesus was there in the garden before he went to the cross, he prayed, "Father, if possible, let this cup pass." And what was the divine answer? The divine answer was silence. You know why? There's no other way for sinners to be saved. He had to drink the cup of God's wrath and drink it to its dregs so that there would not be a drop left for you and I who have placed our trust in Christ. But he would be raised from the dead for us so that we too would be raised in the final day, freed from death, sin, and the curse, and with our Lord in heaven. So we should never forget this is the reason he came. But like Christmas time, it's easy to decorate things nicely, get caught up in the festivities, but overlook or ignore the problem. It's easy to dress up nicely, so to speak, to put on a religious show, to look like a good, nice church person while ignore the problem of our sin. It's easy to ignore our sin. And it's a way to blame shift. It's a way to find a scapegoat. Look at others and say, "You are so sinful. Let me judge you and tell you how unrighteous you are, so I stand righteous." It's easier to decorate with ornaments of self-righteous works rather than confess our sin and trust in Christ's righteousness alone. It's much easier to be a good Christian person than it is to be a forgiven person. It's easier to want to try to do good works ourselves than to rely on the good works of another, our Lord Jesus Christ's good works. This is the greatest obstacle to receiving this wonderful, amazing, incredibly generous, and absolutely free gift. It's yours if you'll take it. There are no strings attached. There's nothing you need to do. You simply receive it, holding out that empty hand of faith. Why would someone not take such a marvelous gift? It's because I don't want to admit I'm a condemned sinner. I'd rather perish than admit that. Oh, but the most freeing, alleviating, and joyous thing there is receiving this gift, to be freed from the pressure of trying to measure up, wondering what others are thinking, trying to justify ourselves before men, wondering if we have done enough, trying to convince ourselves that we're good enough, trying hard not to sin so as to avoid condemnation. Oh, when we come to Christ, we are freed from all of that. We are freed from that burden. He covers us. He provides us with the perfect righteousness, not of our own, and He takes the judgment for our sins in full, so there's not a drop of condemnation left for us who believe. And this is why Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." And so as we celebrate Christmas this season, may we enjoy all the festivities, the lights, the presents, the traditions, and the snow. We may have to drive somewhere else to get snow. But may we not overlook the problem of Christmas. That is the problem that the Savior's birth solved for us. The problem that the Savior's death solved for us. The problem that the Savior's resurrection solved for us. But may we confess our sins, leading us to find true rest, peace, and joy in the Savior, coming to Him, relying on Him for full forgiveness as a free gift. And may this be the true joy and wonder and peace in our hearts, not only during this season, but forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that we would reflect often, not only this season, but throughout our whole lives, on the wonder that you would become a man. You would become a man to be condemned and die, to be a man of sorrows, so that we would be children of joy. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.